Welcome to the Chelsea Skidmore Show. I'm so excited for today's episode. I have my best friend on, Alex Lipton. Okay, her name now is Alex Vargas, but she will forever be Alex Lipton because that's who I grew up with. And then she got married and has a new last name. But yeah, we've been best friends since second grade. We've been through so much together. We were bridesmaids in each other's weddings, and I love her, and she has the most gorgeous, sweetest, happiest, most adorable, perfect little baby named Isla, who also, what an amazing name. And I wanted to talk to her about her pregnancy. I wanted to hear about her birth story. She also taught me some great tips about how to introduce my dog to the baby when the baby comes home, and how to prep your dog for the baby, which was great. And we get into a whole bunch of other stuff about kind of what to expect and what the first week home will be like with baby. So I'm so happy that she wanted to come on and give me just some girl-to-girl friend advice. So that's the episode today, and Merry Christmas. And enjoy this episode with me and Alex. But first, I want to give a shout out to a couple of brands who I am loving right now. So I spend all of my time online researching baby brands and on Instagram and stuff. So these few that I'm going to give shout outs to are brands that I came across on Instagram that I really like. And the first one is Finn and Emma. They are an adorable baby brand who has a balance of stylish and sustainable, classic and contemporary, whimsical and sophisticated clothing. They're made only with the finest 100% cotton and eco-friendly dye. I got some super cute bodysuits, pants, and footsie pajamas by them. So definitely check them out, Finn and Emma on Instagram. They're so cute. Oh my God, I can't wait to use them. Also, the next brand I want to shout out to is Charlie Crane Paris. And they're a super chic furniture designer from Paris for babies and children. I got their iconic Levo rocker, which is a stylish rocker made out of wood and organic cotton. I love the vibe. It's very sophisticated, mid-century. It's going to look gorgeous in the nursery. And they also make cribs and play mats and really cool high chairs with really, really dope cushions. Like, honestly, I could not decide between the rocker and one of the high chairs, because the high chairs, they have like this floral cushion, and now I just saw they have a jaguar printed cushion, and it's super really cute and fun and stylish, and it's not like a boring baby brand. I love that it's from Paris. It just has a really cool vibe. So check them out on Instagram at Charlie Crane Paris. Next, Lello. I love Lello. I found them on Instagram. Their handle is Lello Baby Shop, L-E-L-L-O. And the name, which is so cute, was because the designer's firstborn pronounced yellow as Lello. So they gave it that cute name. And they make these amazing luxury acrylic diaper changing trays. And I got one because I have a huge dresser and I didn't feel like overcrowding the nursery with like another changing table. I just want to get some sort of changing tray and throw it on the dresser and just have it be really simple and like, so when I came across this, I was like, this is absolutely what I'm looking for. This acrylic tray fits perfectly. You just pop the changing pad right in. All the changing pads fit the measurements. It's super easy and cute. I'm really happy. So check out Lello. I know you'll love it. I'm also going to get their acrylic diaper caddy to match it because I just want a whole acrylic vibe. And the last shout out I want to give is to Minna Bay. I'm going to spell it for you. On Instagram, it's M-I-N-A-B-A-I-E. And they make really nice modern diaper bags. They're minimalistic, beautiful, low-key, gorgeous. I mean, I'm definitely going to take it over as a purse for myself. I got the Emmy in black nylon. I love it. It's like super, super chic. So check them out. And those are just four brands I just wanted to let you guys know about. And without further ado, please enjoy this episode with me and my bestie, Alex. Yay!
Hey, Alex!
I'm
so excited for this.
You look so cute.
No, I don't. I'm like, I'm a mom. I don't look cute, but I try. I put earrings on for you.
Isn't that so funny? Like, you feel like putting earrings on will make the smallest adjustment.
It's like a special thing. Like, I don't even wear jewelry anymore. Like, make like all my makeup is like dry and crusted over. Like, I don't get dressed. Like, seriously, an excuse to like blow dry my hair or put earrings on is like a big deal.
I was just thinking right before this started, when I texted you and I was like, oh, by the way, I look like shit. It's like, I feel like you have this idea before you get pregnant of like who you're going to be totally. And what you're going to look like. And then the reality sets in and it looks like this.
It's,
what you're looking
at. It's so true. And like, fuck Instagram for making you feel like you're supposed to be that like hot mom who's like always in like the cute outfit.
With like, are those people?
No, those
That's
people.
Not real.
It's not fucking real. I totally thought I was going to be like the cutest pregnant girl. And then like reality set in and you're just, especially towards the end, like you're just so, at least in my experience, you're just so fucking miserable that like anything with an elastic waist, like I don't care. Like, I just want to be comfortable.
Yeah. And it better not have seams. No tags and no seams.
Or buttons or an underwire.
No zippers.
No zippers.
No fastening.
Wait, it's really funny because I remember like towards the end, I wanted like the perfect outfit to go home from the hospital to deliver the baby. And then like the perfect outfit to also go home from the hospital. Cause I picture it, like I see all these like families with their new baby, like leaving, and they take like the perfect photo as they're like exiting the hospital and they all look great. So I think I bought like 3 different outfits, like had way too much money. I swear to God, I don't even remember. I think I bought like a tie, like a matching like jumpsuit, like a set, like a sweat set that was like cute. No, it stayed in the bottom of my suitcase and I wore this like fucking like schmata. It was like a nightgown that I found because it didn't like, it was just non-restrictive and comfortable with like a coat. Like, I didn't give a shit. Like all those rules go out the window. Like, you don't give a shit what you look like.
I don't get who, so I started following like hot moms who like have recently given birth.
Yeah.
So I want to learn from them and see what they're doing and like check them out. And I'm just like, they're so fucking put together.
No, it's not real. It's not real.
Not.
No, it's not. And that's such a bullshit like expectation. Like, you're a new mom and you have to look good. Fuck that.
I don't think I'll ever look good again. I was texting with my friend last night and we were talking about New Year's and I was like, I don't think I ever need to go to a New Year's party again. I haven't even had the kid yet. And I'm already ready to like never go to a
You're
party.
You're exhausted.
Look at my eyes.
That's what it is. Like, I think from like the end of pregnancy through when the kid is like, I don't even know, like maybe 3, like the first few years is just brutal. Like, you just, it's true. Like, you're exhausted all the time. Like, you couldn't pay me to go to a crowded New Year's city, like a club in New York on New Year's. What is that? No. Like, how did we ever do that? No, never again.
I only want to be at home.
I just want to be home. I hate everybody. And that only heightened after I had Isla. Like, I just want to be in the comfort of my house with my sweatpants and like not wearing a bra.
Never. Wait, no. I love that you brought up the hospital bag because that's something I have 3 months. Oh, by the way, did you ever get, I can't remember if I asked about this. Did you ever get 2 due dates? Did I tell you about that?
Ew, no.
So I originally got April 1st, and I think that's from my LMP.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? Last
menstrual period.
Menstrual. Yeah. and then after they did measurements, like when they did that special ultrasound, like both times, and then another time my doctor was like, it looks like it could also be March 25th.
Yeah, no, actually, I know I didn't get 2 due dates, but they do take down like when your last period was to get a sense of it, but then you get your more accurate due date based on the size and the growth of the feet, like of the baby. So that's when they gave me like my official date, but that's so funny. April 1st and I was March 31st. So we're like right there. I know. Imagine if she came on Isla's birthday.
Oh, wait. And Isla's going to be 2?
In April. Yeah.
That's crazy. Wait, hold on. Insane. So which date do I go off of?
March 25th? Go off the one based on the baby's size.
That's crazy. Okay. And the reason why it's so important for me to know, and I know because... you know, people end up going past like their week or whatever.
Yeah.
And, is because I love reading the weekly.
Yeah.
Week 25, week 25.
Yep. Like all the little updates.
And I want to know that I'm on the right week.
Yeah, totally. I wouldn't go by the period. I mean, who really knows, but I think it's much more accurate to go by like the size. Cause that's how they can really see how far along the fetus, the baby is. Feels weird saying fetus. That sounds so like, let's just say baby.
I know. Did you ever, okay, so this is like dramatic, but 2 days ago,
yeah,
I was walking Jagger and I just started to feel like, I'm not like that big, but
no, you're not. You're just all belly.
But for my body, like it's a lot on me suddenly.
Yeah.
You know, like the way that you feel in your body. And I'm like, oh, am I at the stage where I'm like losing my balance? Cause he pulled me really hard.
Oh no. Yeah. You have to be careful with that.
And I flew into a fence, but I hit my shoulder. I did
oh
not.
My God.
I know. I hit my shoulder like this and it hurt so badly, but I didn't feel anything else anywhere else. That's and there true. Was still tons of movement and stuff. Yeah, like I was in my stomach all night, like movements as usual, no blood. So I think I'm all good.
Yeah, no, you have to be careful. Towards the end, especially towards the end, first of all, I was so big at the end that like I was waddling, like I physically couldn't walk over anyway, even if I wanted to. But actually my doctor even said, you know, like one time, I mean, you're fine, obviously, but like, that's not, you know, even my doctor was like, it's best if your husband walks the dog because all that pulling. And then Bear, first of all, Bear is 100 pounds. How much is Jagger?
45, but he's really bad. Then last night I was walking him again the next night and he was pulling me so hard and it was like,
no, you've got to have Steven just like,
and I think that's the last time I'm walking
him. Yeah, no, totally. I stopped and I missed it. Cause like that was my time with him. And like, you know, I feel like they sense what's happening too, in some weird way, like even our vet, before I was even showing, before I even like announced my pregnancy or anything, even our vet, like I took Bear in and the vet was like, 100% your dog knew that you were pregnant probably before you even knew. Like they just have this instinct. And so Bear towards the end, I felt like he was getting kind of like sad, like almost like he knew, no, I swear to God, like he knew something was changing. And then I had to stop walking him because he was so big and he would pull me. And then that was like our time to together. And it was like, it's a bit, everything is a fucking adjustment. I swear to God, like everything changed in a good way.
Yeah. You know, but like, remember how many months you were when you stopped walking him?
I mean, I don't know, probably like 7, maybe 8.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I'm only 6, but he pulls so much.
Yeah. No, like, it's just not, and it's not safe. Like God forbid. Yeah. I mean, you're in LA, but like here in New York, especially if it's like icy out, you know, and like, if he were to pull me and I slip or, you know, it's just like not worth it. So from that point, like I couldn't walk him anymore and Ruben had to do it.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you about that. Cause I was wondering if you had the same thing. Cause I know that you have a big dog. Yeah. That's so funny. Also, you said your dog was sad. Cause you have one of them. It's not funny that he was sad, but you have one of the most expressive dogs I've ever seen.
He has eyebrows. Yeah. Everyone always says that he's so expressive. He's so sweet. Like he's just a gentle giant, but he for sure, it was an adjustment. I mean, it's an adjustment for everybody, like bringing home a whole child that you now have to like keep alive, but even for the dogs. And actually it's true what they say. We took, we didn't come home like in advance to give Bear anything of the babies, but we did before we physically introduced him to Isla. We took one of her hats that she wore in the hospital and we let him like smell it and kind of get used to her scent so that he wasn't, I mean, again, he's like the sweetest non-aggressive dog, but still like there's this thing coming into his territory that he doesn't know what it is. So it's, they say, you know, it's good to kind of like, you know, prepare as best you can, like prepare Jagger, like give him something the baby wore for those first few days in the hospital or just something to sort of like ease the baby in kind of thing.
That's so smart. And then, so when you actually came home with her,
yeah,
what was that process like with Bear?
It was fine. I'm trying to remember. I think Ruben came in the house first. No, he did. I stayed in the car with Isla and Ruben came in first and like said hi to, oh no, wait, that's not even true. What happened? Actually, my parents had, they took Bear for the first couple of days so that we could, wait, is that what we did? Yeah. I think so that we could just like be home with just Isla. And then that's what it was. And then they brought Bear back to the house once we were like in. And I think I stayed like away in another room with Isla and Bear like said hi. I mean, Ruben said hi to Bear, you know, whatever, got all his excitement out. And then I slowly came in holding her in the car seat. And like, we kind of let him sniff her. And, you know, I mean, he was so excited, but it was definitely like, please don't eat my child.
Yeah. So wait, why did she stay in the car seat? Do you bring
her? She was like secure. Like I didn't feel, cause I also miss him. Like I wanted to hug him and I didn't want Bear to feel like, honestly, like he's, you know, he's like our child. Like we had him for 2 years before Isla came. I didn't want him to feel neglected or anything different. So like for me, when I come home, like I'm hugging my dog, I'm kissing him. And if I was holding her, I couldn't do that cause he would jump. So I kept her like in the car seat so he could like sniff her and she was secure and I could pet him. You know, we tried to like make it as seamless as possible.
Yeah. Okay. These are all good tips. Mm-hmm. So wait, what was in your hospital bag?
Oh God. I don't even remember. Honestly, like I think I spent so much energy researching. Like, what do you need? Yeah, I didn't, you don't use half of that shit. I think I just had like comfortable clothes, definitely comfortable clothes to wear in the hospital. They say, and this is true, like non-skid socks, but that's when COVID wasn't a thing because normally after you deliver, they want, whether it's C-section or natural, they want you like up and walking around as soon as possible, like as soon as it's safe. So one thing they try to get you to do is like walk the halls, like up and down to like get, you know, get exercise, like get going. But because of COVID, we were like confined to our room. So like, yeah, I had the socks like in the room and I brought like slippers from home. Like I always have my like UGG slippers. Mm-hmm. But there was no like walking up and down the halls or anything like that because of COVID. Our experience was so not the norm, I think, because it was like, we had her right at the height of COVID. Mm-hmm. So it was very, I don't know, very like unique. Like we were in this little bubble in our hospital room for like 3 days. It was just us, no visitors. Like there was no leaving the room and it was kind of nice. You know, it was like, and then the nurses and the staff were on rotation, just coming in 24/7. Like it was like a very nice hotel experience, like making sure we had everything, like bringing you your meals. But it was not, I don't think like a typical experience because COVID just ruined everything.
Yeah. I remember when you called me, I photographically remember sitting in my bed in my old apartment when you told me the story about what happened and I was crying.
Oh wait, I remember you started crying.
Yeah. Cause it was like such an emotional story.
It really was like you're talking about when my delivery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But wait, before we get to that,
I know you asked me about the hospital bag.
Yeah, let's talk about hospital bag. Yeah. And then I want to hear before that about if you labored at home or not and how.
Oh, yeah.
But you were induced.
I was right? Induced. So yeah, I'll tell you about that. But just about the hospital bag, there was nothing special, honestly, just like comfortable clothes. Like if you wear like slippers or just like something with like grip on the foot, that's it. Like you're not even like leaving the room. It's not like, no one gives a shit how you look. Like I brought my hair dryer. Like why? No,
did I'm not. Like,
I did shower, but I didn't wash my hair. Like some people might, but like I didn't. And even if I did, like I'm not giving myself a blowout. Like I just was cut open and I'm like bleeding and can barely stand up straight. Like I'm not fucking blow drying my hair.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure why I brought that. I brought makeup, didn't touch it. Like, it's so stupid. Like the pressure, like you just delivered a human and now you have to look cute. Like, no,
I know. I don't get
bring like comfortable clothes. Oh, like obviously the baby stuff, you know, like they do give you, like most hospitals give you everything you need. Like I totally overpacked. I was overprepared, you know, like new mom, half of the stuff I did not even wind up using, but like, you know, depending on the weather, you bring like a weather appropriate outfit for the baby. Like we delivered, she was born in April, so it was still cool out. So like I brought warm clothes to bring her home in. You have to bring the car seat in. So they can inspect it. Did what?
And they don't let her leave unless.
Let you leave.
Did you bring formula just in case she didn't latch?
I didn't bring formula, but they ask you when you check in, do you plan to breastfeed or formula feed or both? And I said both because actually this is going to lead us to one of the things I know we want to talk about, but like, as far as like what you plan and then like actual reality. So my plan was to breastfeed and, you know, luckily I was able to, but you never know, you know, and if you say, I mean, let's say you tell them breastfeed only, and then you can't, obviously they're going to give you what you need. They're going to give you formula, but I just said both so that they would have it ready just in case.
That's smart.
Yeah. But you know, not everything goes as planned.
Yeah. So, okay. So let's kind of get into that. So how many weeks were you? Did it go? So you had your due date, and at that point you're like, I'm fucking done. Let's just pop this out.
Over it. So my due date was March 31st, 2020. And, by April 7th, which was my husband's birthday. So that's a full week or 8 days after the due date. I was 0 centimeters dilated. She was still, you know, have you ever heard like the baby drops? Like they say, like, has the baby dropped? Like, because they're coming down lower in the birth canal, like to prepare for birth. She did not drop. She was like way up high, chilling. She was very comfortable. Nothing was happening. And this was over a week later. And I was just like, okay, like what is going on? So I had a doctor's appointment that day. This was on Ruben's birthday and it was in the morning. And I literally started crying in my OB's office. And I was just like, please, I am miserable. Like, get her out. So he's like, I'm like, no, like evict, get her the fuck. I cannot. Yeah. Like I cannot do this anymore. Like by that point, like everything hurts. You're just miserable. You're like,
yeah, what do I have to look forward to?
Yeah, you're just like retaining fluids in places there shouldn't be fucking fluid. Like it was just so miserable.
What is that? Graphically explain what that means.
You'll see. Like just first of all, I've never had kinkles. Like luckily that's not a thing for me. I've always had like pretty, like you're good right now. I can see your ankle bone. I had kinkles. Like there was no ankle, it was calf and then foot. Like
you
it was just
the hardest thing for me right now. And I know that a lot of people already have this.
Yeah.
But this is the first time for me, my inner thighs are touching.
Yeah. You've always had skinny legs.
And when I walk, when I go on walks and they rub against each other and like burn.
You chafe.
You know, chafe. Yes. It's like miserable.
Yep. And it's only going to get worse because you still have a few months to go.
I know. I'm like, what am I going to turn
into? It's all normal though. Just so you know, this is all like healthy. Like it's all good, you know, but it's uncomfortable. Like God, men have no clue what we go through. I mean, and the sacrifices to our bodies, like, oh my God. And it sounds like such a cliche, but it's all true. Like I would look in the mirror, like naked out of the shower and I didn't recognize myself. Like really? And I just remember like, okay, you have to be grateful. Like I'm healthy. She's healthy, you know, and I was lucky. I had, you know, relatively speaking, I had a very easy, good pregnancy. My blood pressure was fine. You know, I didn't have diabetes, you know, everything was good, but I had horrible pregnancy symptoms and, you know, the weight gain and just the belly itself gets so heavy. I don't remember like a number to be completely honest, but I definitely, my doctor like fat shamed me at one point. He was like, yes, he fully fucking fat shamed me. And I'm like, and I've never been like, he said, like, you need to, like, you know, you need to watch your numbers. Like, you know, you still have a while to go and I'm a little concerned. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, doctor, I don't want to say his name, but I'm like, really? Like, I've never really been like an overweight person. So, and I felt healthy. I worked all the way up to 9 months. I was very active. So, and I wasn't like eating like shit. Like, obviously we indulge, we have like our cravings and whatever, but I eat relatively healthy and, you know, well, so I just couldn't believe he was even saying that to me. And he made me feel horrible. You just have to like, listen to your instinct. Like, I felt good. My blood pressure was fine. Everything was healthy. So I was like, yeah, you know what? Towards the end, I even told him, I'm like, fuck off. Like, I'm like, yo, back off, because you're making me feel hot. He's like, no, it's my job. I'm your doctor. And I'm like, he had 3 kids. I'm like, did you make your wife feel horrible when she was pregnant? Cause that's what you're doing. Yes. 100%. Yeah. No, he's like, cool. He's cool. You could talk to him. But I said, I'm like, you're really not helping. He's like, no, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just, you know, I'm your doctor. I have to make you aware. And I'm like, okay, when you want to carry a whole human inside your belly, talk to me about weight gain. Like, fuck off. Well, I don't remember a number, but I mean, whatever.
I've already gained 30 pounds at 6 months.
30? That's fine. You can't tell. It's 30. All. No,
after your whole rant about not shaming, you wanted to say more, and all you could say was, 30.
No, but you know what? Keep in mind, a lot of that is fluid in your belly. Like, your whole child is being protected by this safe, watery, amniotic fluid that is like a cushion for your kid.
Oh, wait. Really. So a lot
of that is water weight.
I'm paranoid about this in my head. If me hitting my shoulder somehow hit the amniotic fluid, no. My water break, right?
No, not necessarily.
But I would know.
You would, first of all, you would know. You would go into early labor and that hasn't happened. There was nothing ruptured. You would have like extreme bleeding, like God forbid.
You overthink everything.
I know. You can be a little bit of a hypochondriac, but I promise hitting your shoulder is not going to affect the baby.
Okay, thank you. What about the pulling during the walk?
I mean, that you don't want, because you don't want to put any strain on the belly.
For a block.
What?
It was a full block of pulling.
I mean, that's fine. I just wouldn't do it like regularly all the time. You're fine. Don't worry.
Yeah. Okay. So let's see. You're the fine. Weight gain towards the end.
But wait, you wanted to know. So
what about getting out of bed? Oh, like moving, adjusting.
That was the worst. I needed like a forklift. I would have to make sure, because I have every night I have to sleep with like a huge glass of water next to my bed. I had to make sure I pee. Like, once I laid down, there was no getting up. Like, that was it. So I had to make sure everything, like my charger was within reach. Because like, forget it. Or Ruben would have to come around and like pull me physically.
Really?
Up.
So yes. He had to pull you up by the end.
Yes, by the end, because your belly is just so heavy and so uncomfortable. Do you have the wedge pillow yet?
I have two pregnancy pillows that I've tried.
Yeah. Is one of them like a wedge?
They're shaped like this. They're U-shaped. Mm-hmm. But I don't like them. I think I need a body pillow.
Well, I had the body pillow, which a friend of mine got for me as a gift when I was pregnant. And that thing, I loved it. There's so many out there, though. You just have to the one I had is like, I think it was like $40 on Amazon.
Yeah. I tried hurt my neck because I was leaning on it. And I'm like, I need to be on a pillow.
Yeah. Some of them are not comfortable. My sister, who's pregnant and due in February, I had gotten her like a really good body pillow and she hated it. She was like, it's just not for me. It's just, you have to find the one that's like comfortable for you. But I will recommend to any moms or mom-to-bes who might not have this yet, get a wedge pillow. It's literally that. It's like a styrofoam wedge. And because especially towards the end, your belly is so big and I'm a side sleeper and you kind of have to sleep on your side anyway. It's not, especially as you get bigger, it's not safe to lie on your flat on your back, and you obviously can't lie on your stomach. So they say it's best to sleep on your left side, which is actually how I normally sleep anyway. But so, you know, think about gravity. You're lying like in the fetal position, but your belly is just like being pulled downward. And it was so uncomfortable that I would put the wedge it was like meant for like between your legs, but I would put the wedge under the my belly to like support it.
Oh, that's yeah.
nice. And it was okay. really, it would help a lot. So I highly recommend that. Amazon. Yeah.
And like, I've been waking up in the middle of the night. Oh, I went to sleep at 7:30 PM last night.
Yep. Sounds about right. you had, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but your first trimester, I think you were nauseous a lot, right? Or no?
I was sick every single day for 3 months straight.
Yeah. You were sick.
I also every single day, all day.
Oh my God. That's awful. I was very lucky. I did not get nausea or throw up one single time. But my first trimester, I was so exhausted, like beyond the normal, like, oh, I'm tired. No, like I couldn't function. And I'm at work, like my eyes are closing. It was bad. And then everyone would say, okay, the second trimester, it gets better. And it did, but it took a long time. Like that was my biggest struggle in the beginning. I was so exhausted all the time. And I would go to sleep at like 7 o'clock.
Third, right? I've heard
I don't know. I just feel like it's not towards the end, just like everything is miserable. I don't know. Like I was surprised. I thought I was going to be one of those people who just like floated through pregnancy and this little like pregnant goddess who, you know, I was going to look cute and have all these outfits and feel amazing. It was not like that. I'm not going to lie. I didn't love it. Like I did not love pregnancy. Towards the end, I was so miserable. I was jealous of every single woman I saw who wasn't pregnant. Like I was jealous. I'm like, oh my God, I wish. Like I felt like I was going to be pregnant forever. I don't know. Like some people love it. And then they say you get amnesia and that's why people do it again and again. And I think I'm there now. Like I'm kind of like, all right, maybe it wasn't so bad, but no, I have to remind myself I was miserable. I was miserable, especially toward the end.
Yeah, I know. I'm worried of like what's to come. So you were crying at your doctor's office.
Oh yeah. Like, crying, begging him, like, you've got to get this baby out, like induce me. You're like, what do we have to do? Cause she's not moving. Like she is so comfortable in there. And he said, well, to be honest, we could technically go like at least another week. And I was sobbing. I'm like, no, I can't do it. Like I can't. And he's like, well, it's not a priority to put you on the surgery schedule because you're healthy. Like there's no, and that's a good thing. You know, he's like, there's no emergency. He was like, what I can do is call the unit and see if they have any beds available. He was like, but again, unless you go into labor naturally, or God forbid something should go wrong, like there's really no reason that I should induce you today. And I begged him. So he finally was like, all right, well, this is what we'll do.
Let me pause. Did you go into that appointment knowing you were going to ask this?
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
I went in there fully planning to beg him. And what I didn't expect is that he wouldn't in the beginning, like I didn't expect his reaction to be like, no, I think we're good. Like you can go like another week. I delivered Isla at 41 and a half weeks, 39 wow. weeks. So she was like 39 weeks is like fully cooked. Like you're good. That's full term or it's 40 weeks, but like even 39 weeks is fine, you know? So at that point I was 40 weeks and he was like, no. On my due date, I was 40 weeks. This was a week later. And he was like, well, you know, it's not an emergency. Like everything is fine. I'm really not in a rush to, you know, to induce you. He was like, this is what we'll do. I'll call the unit and see if they have any beds available. And if they do, then we can discuss it. So I'm like, oh my God. So he called and the charge nurse on the labor and delivery unit was like, I don't have any beds available. Tell her to call toward the end of the shift. The end of the day, like around 5 PM. So he sent me back home and this was on Ruben's birthday. And I was so miserable. He was like, look, go pack your bag, like get everything ready. He was like, but I'm letting you know, there's a good chance. Like nothing is happening today. And I was like praying, like everything was in limbo. Like we didn't celebrate Ruben's birthday. We were just like,
you're like, I'm not fucking celebrating.
No, this is not about, this is not about you.
This is not your guest.
Not about you anymore. This is about me. Like I am miserable. So no, I'm not kidding.
I'm looking to see if he's listening.
He'll hear this. He knows. He remembers. We sat on the couch with our suitcases like in hand, like waiting for like a call. Like we didn't do anything. And I felt bad, but like, not really. I'm like, listen, happy birthday. But if they call, like we're going. So he's like, oh my God. So I called back at like 5 p.m. and the charge nurse was like, all right, call back again in 2 hours. And I'm like, no, you've got to be kidding me. Like, this has been all day. I've been waiting. She said, I have someone that's being discharged. If we don't get any emergencies in the next couple of hours, you can come in and we'll do, she said, what is it called? They'll do fetal monitoring. So they don't actually admit you yet. They take you into like an area and they put a monitor, they put a thing on your belly and they track to see if you're having any contractions yet. So she was like, hold off a couple hours, call back around 7 something. And if there has been no emergencies, then you can come in and we'll do the fetal monitoring and we'll go from there. So when we got to the hospital, now again, this was like height of COVID, there was no vaccines yet. Like it was scary. The security guard, when we pulled up at the hospital, made me go in through the emergency room and he made Ruben wait in the car. And I'm like, I'm here to have a baby. Like my husband's not waiting in the car. And he's like, well, no, he is. He said, if they admit you, then of course, you know, we'll let him in. But there was a chance that they were going to be sending me home that same night if nothing was going on. So whatever, long story short, Ruben dropped me off. I went in, they looked at the monitor and sure enough, I already had started having contractions naturally.
So you didn't feel them?
I had like lower back pain. So I don't know. It wasn't like what you see in the movie. I mean, my water didn't break. It wasn't anything like that. So it wasn't like full blown labor, but the contractions had started. And for me, it was like back labor. I found out later I was having back labor, which is a thing apparently. So I was just like really uncomfortable and my back hurt, but like, I didn't know that they weren't like so strong that I was like, for sure, I'm having this baby right now. It wasn't dramatic or anything like that. So they took me in. But then when she looked at the monitor, she was like, yep, we're going to admit you and we'll start. Yeah. But nothing was still like super far along. So they still had to induce me. So whatever, long story short, I called Ruben. He fully thought we were going back home and he was going to be like having beers and like doing whatever for his birthday. And he was like, wait, are you see? I think there was a part of him who wanted to go back home. I think he was in denial because I called him from the room. He was in the car and he's like, hey, like I'm here waiting. Like which entrance should I meet you at? And I was like, no, like come in, bring the bags. Like this is happening. And he was like, he just laughed and was like, wait, what? I'm like, yes, babe. Like, this is happening. Come on. So he's like, oh shit. Like, all right. So whatever. So they checked in. And then I wound up being in labor for a full 12 hours. Yeah. And it was at like 5 a.m. that I got the epidural. And I was ready to do a natural delivery.
When did you get Pitocin?
I didn't. So first they gave me this medication called Cervidil. And it's like they put it, it's kind of like a suppository, or I don't know what you call it. It's like, it almost like a tampon and they insert it into your vagina.
I remember thinking it was like sandpaper.
Exactly. Oh my God. It hurts so bad. It's like, it like scratches you on the way in. So they put it in and that softens your cervix and you have to lie there for 4 hours. You cannot get up because it has to kind of like do its thing or it'll fall out. So they did that first. And then the next step after that, now granted, I'm not a labor and delivery nurse, but I think the next step is that they do the Pitocin. But at that point with my contractions, her heart rate was dropping. And as the contractions were getting stronger, her heart rate was dropping lower and lower. I'm going to get emotional.
Why does that happen?
It turned out for me, it happened because the umbilical cord was wrapped around her ankle. Okay. And they didn't know that at the time. They just, you know, they're so closely monitoring your blood pressure, your heart rate, the baby's heart rate. And they could just see with every contraction that I was having, the baby's heart rate would drop. And I was still only, I think at that point, I was like only 2 centimeters dilated. So I still had a long way to go. And they were like, no, we have to get this baby out now. Like she's not tolerating it. And at that point, that's when it got really scary. Cause it had never even like occurred to me prior that anything bad would happen. Maybe that was like naive. I just felt like, okay, everything's been healthy and normal up to this point. I don't know. Like it doesn't, you never think something bad is going to happen. And then when the doctor came rushing in at one point and was like, we need to get this baby out now. Like her heart rate is way too low. Then I just was like sobbing and like terrified. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, this is not my perfect birth plan. I'm not going to be like sitting on a lily pad, like delivering this child. They're like, no, we need to get you in the operating room now. Like you're having a C-section. It was really scary. And from the time that he came
in, you had the epidural.
I had already had the epidural because my contractions were really strong and I was miserable. That's the other thing. Talk about like plans. Again, me being not having done this before and I brought like my hair dryer. I thought I was going to be in like gentle labor, like having contractions overnight and then wake up in the morning, like eat breakfast, shower, like wash my hair, put makeup on. Like I had a plan. Yeah. So I didn't want to have the epidural. I kept putting it off because once you have the epidural, there's no getting up. Like you're paralyzed. You can't walk. So I'm like, no, it's too early. Like I have to shower in the morning. And Ruben and the nurse were like, what are you talking about? Like you're miserable. The contractions were horrible. I was in so much pain. She's like, there's no like showering in the morning. Like this is like, this is the time. Like it's not, she's like, too soon for what? Like you're in labor. This is when you get the epidural. And I didn't know, I've never done this before. So I was like, it's not too early. And they're like, no, like, aren't you miserable? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, so what are you waiting for? So I'm like, all right. So they called the anesthesiologist. I got the epidural at like 5 a.m.
Did it hurt?
Yeah, it wasn't fun. You know,
did you get any morphine or?
No.
Was it offered?
No, not at that point. Cause I wasn't in like active labor yet. Like I was just having contractions. So I don't know. Did they offer it? Maybe. I don't think at that point they do. I don't know. But either way, I wasn't planning. I didn't want pain medication.
Of course, I'm aware of what's available.
That's like your one freebie.
Yes. It's true. I'm like,
and it's allowed. It's allowed. Don't worry.
I know. I can't wait for my morphine.
Totally. But I don't know. I personally, that wasn't what I planned, but an epidural, that's not the same thing. An epidural is just numbing you from basically the belly button down. And so, oh my God, I was crying in pain. The contractions were horrible. The epidural wasn't fun. Like they did that, but the guy, he was really good about it. But once it kicked in, Ruben and the nurse were like, okay, you're about to have another contraction. Cause they're like, look, you can see the screen. You can see, you know, the waves of the contraction as they come. They're like, okay, you have another one coming. And I was just like sobbing cause I was in so much pain from all the contractions prior that I thought it was going to happen again. And then nothing happened. And I was just lying there and I felt fine. And they're like, did you feel that? And I'm like, feel what? They're like, you just had another contraction. I was like, I did. And then I was just crying like tears of relief. And Ruben was so mad at me. He's like, you're so stubborn. Like, look how relieved you are because I had the epidural. So I didn't feel anything anymore. And you're like, what were you waiting for? But anyway, so then, yeah, so I had the epidural. I was like numb, waiting for, you know, labor to progress. But then that's when everything happened, when her heart rate just started dropping. And then come like, I think it was like 10:30 in the morning. This went on for hours.
So did you sleep at all?
Yeah, we tried. Like, remember, it was like Ruben's birth, you know, so I'm like, you rest, like at least it's your birthday. Like the least you can do is take a nap. Like you can nap. You're so like uncomfortable and just like, it's such an out of body experience in a way. And it's like unfamiliar territory. So I tried to sleep, but I don't think I really did. Like, I'm kind of like lying in the bed, trying to get comfortable. There's no getting comfortable. You're just doing the best you can. So this went on all night into the morning. And then, like I said, around that time, they were like, no, we have to get her out. So from the time he rushed into the room to tell me we're putting you in the OR to the time that I was actually on the operating table, it was like 10 minutes.
Whoa.
And I was like sobbing and I was terrified. And I said to him, to my doctor, I'm like, you're not going to let anything bad happen to her, right? And he was like, I've done this 1,000 times. If I have to get her out in 60 seconds, I will. I was like, okay. And then, yeah, she was born. It was crazy.
And So, and you didn't feel a thing, right? Did they put up like the curtain?
Yeah, they do. They put up a curtain so you can't see anything. I was so scared though, that I was just, I couldn't breathe because I was crying so hard. And you know, when you cry, like you get like your nose is like running and you have all these like, so, and you're lying flat. So everything, like my nose was completely stuffed. I was out of breath because I was crying. And I was just like, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. And the labor and delivery nurse was like, honey, look at the monitor. Like you're breathing out 100%. Like you're fine. But she was really like nice. Oh, yeah. And like, you know, put me at ease. And I'm like, okay. So once I calm down, they give you more medicine to like numb you even more. And then they put the curtain up. So you can't see what's going on for good reason. And it's not pain, but they do tell you at one point, like not to be graphic, but like, they're like, okay, we're going to pull the baby out now. Like you're going to feel a lot of pressure.
Yeah. And do you remember the
like breath? My body was like they're literally, they have to like detach the child from inside. Like they have to pull the baby out and go through, like, I think it's 9 different layers that they cut through. Whoa. It's major, major abdominal surgery. That's why it's such a big deal to have a C-section. And they don't do it just because, like, usually, I mean, as far as I know, I don't think C-sections are just totally elective just because, like, oh, I don't want my vagina to be ruined. Therefore, no, I think there has to be like an actual reason. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong about that, but no, it's like major surgery. So you feel the pressure of them, like literally taking the baby out. So I did feel that. And I was like, oh, I feel it. I feel it. It was very, very, it's like just the most bizarre. I don't know. Nothing can prepare you for that. But then you hear the baby cry and it's just like everything, it's all worth it.
Let's take a quick break from the episode to talk to you about Livly. This episode is brought to you by Livly. I needed to get some new bras, obviously. My boobs got so much bigger. Oh my God, this is so funny. My mom, she messaged me and she was like, oh, I got you some bras. And I was like, oh, thank you. She goes, yeah, they're 34B. It's like, bitch, I haven't been 34B since high school. I'm a 32E right now. I don't fit into any of my bras. I had to put them all away and into storage. And I got like all these comfortable bras that were big and cozy. But I also want to get a couple that felt a little sexier that I could wear for date nights that didn't look like bandages. But you know, was still functional and comfy without compromising on style. So I came across Livly. Livly is a community and brand created to inspire us all to live passionately, purposefully, and confidently. They make bras, undies, loungewear, swimwear, activewear, and beyond, taking the best elements of high style and ultimate comfort from each category to develop a brand new of lingerie called Leisure. So Livly's bralettes and busty bralettes made for D to triple Ds both feature adjusting straps for easy adjusting, including the mesh trim maternity bralette and the busty maternity bralette. And they have drop down cups, which make nursing on the go super easy. It's function meets fashion with Livly's maternity collection of bras, bralettes, and bodysuits that are supportive, comfy, and stylish. I got the busty maternity bra in black and almond, and I love the design. It's so cute and sexy. So head over to Wear Livly and check out their amazing bras, underwear, loungewear, and make sure to sign up for emails to get 10% off the first purchase from Livly and stay up to date with their newest collection. So check out at Wear Livly, Lively. And thank you so much to Livly for sponsoring this podcast. Next, I want to tell you about Lalo. This episode is also sponsored by Lalo. Okay, so this is so fucking funny. Before I got pregnant, I swear to God, I knew nothing. I knew nothing about what to expect, what the symptoms were going to be like, what was going to happen to my body, what I had to do in preparation. Literally, I swear to God, I am not just making this up. The one thing that I knew was which high chair I wanted. Because I had seen this high chair by Lalo on girls' Instagrams before. And I was like, oh my God, that's so chic. I love it. It already matched my dining room chairs. So like the second I got pregnant, I was like, oh my God, I get to add the high chair to my registry. And I didn't even know this, it turns into a play chair. So it's kind of like a 2-in-1, bada boom, bada bang, bada boom. I felt like I needed 3 right there. So I can't wait to use it. I was honestly sad to... I wanted to set it up right away. And then I was sad to realize that babies don't sit in high chairs until like 6 months or something. So I hope she starts eating sooner because I'm ready to put her in it. but it's super, super cute. And you don't have to sacrifice form for function with Lalo's products. All the products are sleek, easy to clean, designed to stay in the family for a while. Like, for example, as I said before, the chair could be turned into a toddler play chair after. So after they grow out of the high chair phase, it could then, you know, be used for a play kit for many years to come. All the products are completely high quality, made with non-toxic materials. All the tableware items are made from FDA-approved non-toxic BPA-free silicone. The chair and the play kit feature both FSC certified sustainable beechwood. And I love the look of it. It's so sleek. It's so stylish. I got the coconut color, which is like they're white. It already matches my dining room chairs, which are these kind of like white mod chairs. So it just goes together really well. And I like to have just like a white kind of like, I have like a glass dining room table around one with these like kind of roundish mod chairs. So it's all going to look really good together. I can't wait. Go check it out for yourself. Just go to meetlalo. That's meetlalo.com to check out my favorite high chair and use promo code Chelsea10 at checkout to get 10% off your order. So that's meetlalo.com. Use the code Chelsea10 to get 10% off your order. And I'm going to hook you up. And now this episode is also brought to you by Kindred Braverly. And okay, I'm 6 months pregnant. My closet has been getting smaller and smaller options wise. All I want to wear is super soft, easy, comfortable pieces. And I came across Kindred Braverly. I saw literally thousands of things that I needed on their website. And I'm not even talking clearly because honestly, like I've tried a lot of different brands, like maternity clothing brands. I'm not even kidding. Like I'm going to continue to buy stuff off here well after I'm postpartum. Just like, I can't believe how soft they are. So I got these black jogger pants. They're so buttery soft. I never want to take them off. I've washed them already twice in 1 week because I just wanted to wear them every single day. And they're so comfortable. I got these really cute pajamas too in this blue color. I got postpartum recovery underwear. I got a ton of shit. They have this really cute pink and white striped hospital gown, which reminded me kind of like a Beverly Hills Hotel vibe. Because I heard that girls sometimes bring their own gowns, so you don't have to wear the hospital gown. I just thought that was like a really cute way to feel good about yourself in the moment of labor. So I got that. They have so many things you can get for pregnancy, postpartum, and honestly, again, anyone could shop there because it's so soft and comfortable. I'm seriously obsessed. And I want to tell you a little bit about the brand themselves too. It's a mom-owned company employing more than 24 work-at-home moms, which I love. Kindred Braverly pieces are meticulously designed to make the motherhood journey easier. So they're pieces you actually want to wear. The comfort and quality is unmatched. There's a reason the hands-free pumping and nursing bra is loved by moms, including celebrities. I also got one of those that has like such a high rating on their website. So I'm excited to use it. So go to kindredbraverly.com and I have a promo code. It's 20Chelsea at checkout to save 20% off your order. Huge. So that's kindredbraverly.com. KindredBraverly.com. The code is 20Chelsea to save 20% off. I'm hooking you guys up. If you're going to get anything off this episode, it's those black joggers that are so insanely comfortable. So without further ado, again, which is what I said in the intro, let's get back to the episode with Alex.
I remember the point that I was crying in your stories because when they pulled the baby out, they had to check and make sure everything was okay. Yeah. You didn't get her in person. Mm-hmm. You were like, where's my baby? Yeah. And that was the part that I was like, oh my
yeah. God. I'm like, where is she? Where is she? You know what I said in like my, not like drugged, I wasn't drugged up, but like, you're just so out of it. You know, they're giving you oxygen, like the epidural. You just feel, you feel like you are, like I felt high. Yeah. Like I just, you feel so out of it. And so in my like, I don't know, like my anxiety and all the emotions and everything, I think I asked out loud, I'm like, is she cute? And everybody started laughing. And there were, and my doctor was like, did she just ask if the baby's cute?
That's awesome. I want to know.
They were like, yeah, she's perfect. She's very cute. I'm like,
oh, and baby. Was her head? Oh yeah, because you didn't push. Because sometimes I hear that when they come out vaginally, that the head can be like misshaped.
Yeah, totally. Because you're pushing a child, you're pushing a watermelon through your nostril. Like the baby comes out the birth canal. But yeah, I mean, it goes back to like normal shape. But no, that didn't happen with me. She had a perfect little head.
Oh wait, and then do you have to put some sort of pillow under her head so she doesn't get like flat head? What is that?
That's a thing. I never did it. I don't know. Like I guess if the baby's lying on its back a lot, which in the first few months they pretty much are when you're not like holding them. I guess the baby can get like a flattened area in the back of the head. So they have like pillows, but I don't know. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Like everyone's different. I never bothered with that and it was totally fine. Okay. Like I never.
Because that happened to someone I know and I'm like, do I need the fucking pillow?
No, you don't need to buy a pillow. And if it does happen, like you can buy one. I don't think it's that big of a deal, but no, I never needed that.
Okay.
So how do you feel?
I feel good right now. I'm just like, I don't know. I feel good. Like I get really tired at night. Like, you know, I went to sleep at 7:30. I woke up at like 8, although I did wake up a little bit in the middle of the night. It was at 2 a.m. I got heartburn and I had to eat Tums.
Yeah. Oh my God. The heartburn. Oh my God.
The heartburn is so bad. And I don't know. I feel, so I guess I'm at 26 weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I feel like the extra weight on my body, like right now I'm sitting cross-legged, but it's not comfortable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like, I'm learning like how I have to like situate my body. Like when I was in the shower and I picked up my leg, it like hurt my stomach sort of. Like anything in the way of my stomach is like uncomfortable. So I don't know. I'd say like, that's just really it. I don't know.
Yeah, the physical stuff. And it does get, not to like scare you, but not to say it gets worse, but
I want to know what's coming.
Well, again, it is different for everybody, but like as your belly grows, like it does become more uncomfortable. A lot of people get, it's called round ligament pain.
Yeah.
I had it really bad. You had it already? Wow.
Yeah.
It's like in your groin area. And so it felt like, it's usually like in your hips or your groin and pelvic area. And it feels like kind of like a pulling sensation. And that's usually from the weight of your belly. So I would put like heating pads, but you can't put a heating pad for very long when you're pregnant. Yeah. So you have to do it in like short increments. It's just like a lot of uncomfortable shit. Like as your belly grows, you're pretty much going to wind up sitting like with your legs spread at all times to make room for your huge belly. Like that.
Yeah. Did you exercise?
Not really, to be honest, probably not as much as I should have. I walked a lot and I'm on my feet all day at work. So like I was very active. But was I like going to the gym? No.
No. And when did you work up?
I worked all the way up to 9 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, and you were okay doing that?
Yeah. I mean, cause also, you know, most places like you don't want to waste your maternity leave, you know, let's say you go out of work a couple weeks early and then the baby doesn't come for however long, you know what I mean? So I worked all the way up to 9 months and then I just couldn't take it anymore. And I was so miserable. And then with my job, I'm up at 5 a.m. and then I'm on my feet for 10, 11 hours. So it's not even like healthy, like to be like 9 months pregnant. My belly got really big towards the end. It just like, I physically couldn't do it anymore. I was like, I'm done. The day I left for maternity leave was the best day.
It was awesome. So, okay. So you're in the hospital. She's born. Mm-hmm. Now she's in your arms.
Holy shit.
Like, what's that? And then, what did you do for the breastfeeding?
Did
you latch right away?
Yeah, she did. They help you though. Like, I had no clue here's a secret that nobody seems to want to tell you. Nobody knows what the fuck they're doing. They don't. Like, I'm sorry, unless you've done this a handful of times, like, okay. But especially for a new mom, like, I fully told that, like, you have to show me, like, I have no clue. I don't care how many videos you could watch or books you read. I don't even know if that's still a thing. It doesn't prepare you at all for when, like, it's actually happening. Like, the whole thing, I'm not just talking about breastfeeding, like, everything, like, wait, there's a whole human that I'm responsible for now. It's very overwhelming. So, you know, usually you're in the hospital for like at least 2 to 3, sometimes 4 days, depending on if you had like a C-section or delivered naturally or whatever. They said I was going to be there for 4 days. We wound up being there only for 3, but for those 3 days, it's around the clock care. Actually, they kind of spoil you and sort of ruin you for when you are on your own, because you get so comfortable with them, like, helping you with every little thing. Yeah. That by the time they were like, okay, like, time to go home, I swear to God, I had a moment of like panic where I was like, holy shit, like, wait a second, they're letting us leave and take her with us. Like, she's ours. We get to go home now. Like, you're not coming to help me. But they have lactation.
Sorry, you just cut out. Can you repeat what you just said?
What did I say?
You basically were saying, wait, they just let us leave.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Cause you have like around the clock care for 2, 3, 4 days, even in some cases, mm-hmm. where, you know, the nurses come around the clock, they have a lactation specialist who comes in.
What was your first meal?
What was my first meal? Well, the hospital I delivered at is kind of bougie. So they give you your choice of filet mignon or lobster.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Greenwich Hospital. Yeah. So, yeah, I swear to God. So we were like, you know, our expectations weren't really high. I'm like, okay, it's at the end of the day, it's still hospital food. I mean, it's a very nice gesture.
Oh, lobster.
Right.
You got the play though. I know you.
Ruben's allergic to shellfish and I don't eat lobster. So we both got the steak. Let me tell you, it was so good. It was so good. And they take the baby like out of the room several times for different, like a hearing test, and they do a vision test. And so there are plenty of periods of time where the baby's not even with you. So it's kind of nice. Like, you get a break. So they gave us that whole like fancy meal. They wheeled it in as if it was like room service in a hotel, like on a cloth covered table with like a flower and like candles. I swear to God, we have pictures of it, the whole meal. And it was like steak and like roasted veggies. And I think a baked potato and dessert and like, it was so good. And so we didn't have the baby. They had taken her for a test. So it was just us. It was like a date night. And we were like, yeah, and it was really good.
It was his birthday dinner.
Yeah, it was his birthday dinner. Exactly. But yeah, so for the breastfeeding, they have lactation nurses who come in and like grab your boob and show you physically, like, this is how you do it. And like, they, you know, help the baby to latch and they show you how. All like sense of, you know, like being embarrassed or modest or whatever, that just goes out the window at that point. I mean, you've either just delivered a baby in front of like 10 people and your whole vagina's out, or you've been in surgery in front of like 15 people and you're like naked from the waist down, like cut open. Like, there's no modesty at this point.
Yeah. Like, I see pictures of like women in the hospital bed with like the nursing bra on. Yeah. And I'm not gonna be wearing a bra.
Get a nursing bra. No, those are actually,
I have really one, but yeah. I feel like in the hospital I just want to be like tits out.
Oh yeah, no, I was totally tits out.
Okay.
I just had, you know what I did have though? I had bought like these jersey cotton, like really comfortable, loose kind of nightgowns that were like Henley. So they had like the buttons.
You wore after? Okay.
Yeah. I had like 3 of them and I just just to be like super comfortable.
Yeah. Okay.
So it was like really easy access, but they have, you know, you can, they have a million different like nursing friendly, you know, bras or tops or different things that you could wear that make it easy. But yeah, no, I didn't wear a bra until I actually went home.
Okay.
But yeah, so they help you do everything and then they send you on your way and you're like, holy shit.
Did you try the breast milk?
What?
Did you try the breast milk?
No.
Yes, you did.
No, I swear I didn't.
Did Ruben?
No.
you're not. I see. You're lying.
I swear I'm not. I'm not. We thought about it, but I didn't.
Why is your face red and you look embarrassed? Why? But why won't you just admit this?
I promise you. If I did, I would tell you. I promise. I really would. I don't know. You're funny.
Steven wants to try it. And my friend Allie wants to try it.
That's weird.
I know.
That's a little weird. Steven trying it is one thing. Not anyone else. That's weird.
I know. So when you do like this, does it just like squirt out?
Yes. Oh my God. So that's the other thing. For months after, I would have to like constantly check. Actually, one thing you have to get, these nursing pads that cover your nipples because you just leak through everything.
Yeah.
And you can't even know it. Like I would look down and have like a huge stain on my shirt and I'm like, oh great. I'm in Stop and Shop and my kid is leaking.
Did you watch White Lotus?
No, not yet. That's on our list. No, I didn't see it. Is it good?
And yeah. But in the pilot, one of the girls is pregnant and there's like a stain on her shirt. Cause I think she's leaking. And because she like gives birth later that day.
Yeah.
And then like, her boss goes, what is that on your tip?
Okay, inappropriate. Yeah, but it happened. So I think I bought like 1,000 count box of like these nursing little things that go over your nipples to help with the leaking. But yeah, and then you go home and you're just like the first few days, it's just like a blur. And it's like I said, nobody knows what the fuck they're doing. You just figure it out as you go. And it's just a cycle of like eating, sleeping, diapers.
Yeah. And were you in bed for like a week straight?
Probably. I don't remember. Maybe not a week, but like you're really sore. And I have a lot of stairs in my house. So those stairs were no joke. I do specifically remember the first several days I was upstairs in our bedroom with Isla the whole time. And anything I wanted, Ruben would like run up and down, like get me water, like whatever. Yeah. Like a bell on the intercom, honey. Yeah. So the stairs were rough, but then it gets better. It does get better, but that scar, like, so she's 20 months. It's been almost 2 years and I still have numbness. Like there's a whole area right above the scar that's completely numb.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah. And it takes a really, really long time to heal. I used a lot of,
vitamin E,
like vitamin E and scar cream. I actually bought these scar patches that go over it and you leave it on for, I think like a week at a time and it helps it heal. Mm-hmm. Like silicone scar patches for like major, like surgery, like surgical scars and things like that. Yeah, but it takes a really, really long time. My doctor was great. He did it. He cut me like so low down and I don't wear, listen, I don't wear low cut bikinis anymore like we used to, but like nothing that I wear would ever show. Like it's so low down and it's really small.
Yeah. I have my scar from my appendix and, I wonder like if it would be in that same area if I got
no, it's like your bikini, it's like below your bikini line.
Oh, okay. So yeah.
If you have a C-section. Do you have a birth plan? I mean, you know, nothing goes according to plan, but like so far.
I mean, like what I've heard is like having no plan is the best plan. I go to these like there's a maternity store called Hatch.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And they offer free Zoom classes.
Oh, nice. So
I've been going to them. And what I heard, what I thought was really great. It's like, don't have a birth plan, but it's okay to have birth preferences.
Yeah.
And I just like the way that sounds.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you have low expectations. You're not getting disappointed.
Exactly.
Like obviously I would love to have a natural birth.
Right.
But I am having 100% medicated birth. Like
fine,
I want
do
the
it.
Epidural.
Yeah.
I want the morphine.
Yeah.
For my own reasons.
Yeah.
Literally nothing to do with the baby.
No.
I just want to get high on morphine. And no, when I got my appendix out, actually, they gave me morphine and I was throwing up. I don't do well with like, downers.
Yeah, opioids are not.
But I still want it. And I don't know, is that, that's all, right? What else goes into a birth plan?
I mean, I don't know, like some people, listen, like, I don't know if you're, I mean, it is LA, but I don't know if you're one of those people who wants to do like a home water birth.
Oh, no, no.
You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of different ways you could do the home birth, the water birth, the natural, the C-section, like, you know, but at the end of the day, and I was so hung up, that was one of my things. I was so hung up on like what my plan was and then what wound up needing to happen. And a lot of people would just say like, as long, and it's so true, like as long as that baby comes out healthy and you're both okay, like that's truly all that matters. And it sounds so cliche, but I was so, actually earlier in my pregnancy, she was breech for a little while. And so at that point they had said, if she doesn't flip to be head down, you're going to need a C-section. And I was devastated. I mean, I went home crying. Yeah, I was really, and I bought like one of those huge bouncy, like exercise balls. And
do I need one of those?
What's that?
Do I need one of those?
No, I mean, you don't need it unless you need it. I didn't have one until I found out she was breech, and like bouncing on the ball could be one of the things to help her flip. And then you could do these like pelvic lifts, and like, there's all these different things, you know, mostly homeopathic shit that you can try to get the baby to turn. And I was so hung up on not wanting a C-section. I don't know why. I felt like I wanted to experience natural labor. And then, you know, she did wind up flipping head down, but then look what happened anyway. And I wound up having a C-section anyway. And the truth is, it doesn't even fucking matter. Like I look back, and that's definitely, if we do have another kid, like that's one thing for sure I would do differently, is not be so hung up on the expectations of what you feel like it should be. Like at the end of the day, like your health is.
My friends have had C-sections that they didn't expect to have. So just knowing that already tells me I'm already like in the whatever happens. Like whatever state is, whatever is best, whatever needs to happen, I'm okay with it.
And that's a really good mindset, because I'm a person, I'm a little type A. Like I like things, I like to know things in advance. I don't love surprises. Mm-hmm. So I felt like I wanted to have everything planned out, and it wound up being the complete opposite. And so, you know, if we do it again, like I definitely would be more relaxed about it, especially now that I've lived through it and I see how that experience was. And by the way, for those 12 hours that I was in labor, that's no picnic either. Like those, that pain, I would not wish on my worst enemy. It was no joke. Mm-hmm. So I almost feel like I got a little taste of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I kind of had like both experiences in a way. You know, it's, you're delivering a human. It's not fun no matter what, but then like after you have this cute little nugget.
So tell me what those first few days to like the first few week was like.
Oh my God. It's just a blur. I'm not kidding. It is just a blur of, like I said before, just trying to sleep when the baby sleeps, which is such bullshit. They say sleep and the baby sleeps, but that's not a thing.
You can't shut your brain off.
No, you cannot shut your brain off. You know, or okay, that's your chance to take a shower, or, you know, best case scenario. I mean, there's plenty of people who do it alone, and more power to you if you do, that's amazing. But if you are lucky enough and you do have a partner, that's the time when I would tell Ruben, like, you need to watch her. I'm going to take a shower. And you have to take those like few moments or minutes or hour, or however long, for yourself. So like sleep in the baby sleep, even now she's 20 months, even now, like if I'm off and I'm home with her, when she naps, there's no like, okay, I'm going to nap. No, I'm like cleaning the house, you know, like taking a few minutes to myself. It's not realistic, but you try. I mean, so it's just a blur of like sleeping, eating, trying to shower. It honestly, in the beginning, it's just a blur. It's just chaos.
Did you do like sleep training? Anything like, did you just like naturally go with what was going on?
I honestly, and I'm a little surprised because I am kind of type A, but I much more was just like naturally went with what I felt like she needed. Cause in the beginning I was so hung up with reading about like what I should be doing at this stage and what she should be doing at that stage. Every baby is different. And she's been very easy. Like since the beginning, she has slept really well. She's always eaten very well, but that's not to say she didn't have major sleep regressions, where as soon as you feel like you're in a rhythm and a routine and a pattern, and I'm sure any mom listening to this would agree, as soon as I felt like we had her, you know, her nap schedule down and her bedtime routine, and once we kind of got into that rhythm, it would change. Mm-hmm. Like she would hit a certain milestone, you know, 6 months and then 9 months. And then like, that's a, nobody freaking tells you that, or maybe they do. And I just didn't pay attention, but like, I was like, yes, we're in the perfect routine and she's napping so great. And then one day she's like, haha, bitch, psych. Like I'm awake. I'm like, everything goes out the window that you thought you were like used to, and you have to reformulate and start all over again. So I just really didn't get very hung up. Like as we went along, I wasn't super hung up on like what she should be doing. And I just went with what she was doing.
Oh, you know what I'm confused about? So, okay. So she sleeps in your room at first in a bassinet.
Yep.
So when you put her down for naps every single time, is she always only in the bassinet for 6 months, or does she also nap in the crib? Like how does that
work? Yeah, the first, so she slept next to, like in next to our bed in our room for the first 4.5, maybe 5 months. And at that point, she wasn't rolling over yet. So you can swaddle her. So once the baby is swaddled, they're nice and secure. They're not moving. You know, they're really little. So they're sleeping most of the time. But the minute that baby rolls, like that very first day that the baby rolls, is when you have to stop swaddling. It's not safe. So from that age, which for her, it was like around 4-ish or maybe 5 months. That's when we started introducing her into the crib. So I think during her nap,
so she didn't go in the crib at all until 4 months.
Not at all.
So she was just in the bassinet.
She was just in the bassinet, completely swaddled next to me for every nap and overnight.
And that's with a fitted sheet, no blanket, no pillow, just on the mat.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if this is like kosher, what you're supposed to do, but our most bassinets are pretty big. So yeah, we would have the bassinet, but then do you know what a dakotot is?
I have something I think similar. I have a Snuggle Me Organic. Do you know what those are?
No, I think I've heard of it.
I think it's the same thing. It's like the cushiony bag thing.
Right. And it's like, yeah, exactly. You literally like dock your tot, like they can't move. So the bassinet was next to the bed, but then in the bassinet, we put the dakotot.
Yeah.
So listen, everyone is different. I've heard people say that's not safe. You're not supposed to do that. I know, like, first of all, I watched her like a hawk. There was no moment when one of our sets of eyes were on her, but, that's what we would do. Yeah. No sheets, no pillow, of course, nothing in there.
What about bumper pillows?
No, those aren't even safe because God forbid. And that's not a thing for the bassinet. That's for the crib. But even in the crib, like, you know, sudden infant death. And like, if the baby rolls and now its face is pressed up against like a bumper, we got like, it was like a mesh liner that went through the slats of the crib that would prevent her arms and legs from getting stuck. But they were mesh. So if her face did roll up against it, she could still breathe. So there's not supposed to be, for at least the first year, I think it is, there's not supposed to be anything in the crib, not a stuffed animal, not a blanket, not a pillow. The baby's supposed to go down on its back. And if the baby is rolling and rolls on its naturally on their own onto their stomach, then that's fine. But you always put the baby down on the back. But yeah, so for the first 5 months, she was next to us. And then once she started rolling and we stopped swaddling her, we adjusted her into the crib.
So did you use the monitor only for the crib? Because the monitors are attached to the wall only. So you're not even looking at a monitor until...
Exactly, because she's right next to you. You don't need a monitor. But yeah, that monitor is going to be in her room until she's like 16. Mom, I have my boyfriend over. Like, get the monitor off.
It's like that. Did you watch that Black Mirror?
What?
The Black Mirror episode with the mom who puts the microchip in her kid?
No, what's that?
You know the show Black Mirror?
No, what is that?
You don't know the show Black Mirror?
No, should I?
You?
I don't have a lot of time to watch TV. I have a kid.
On Netflix, you would be obsessed with that show.
What is it?
You would love it. It's like this really fucked up series of like, they do like a lot of technologically based storylines, but it's like very futuristic, like fucked up world, like dark thriller shit.
Mm-hmm.
And
right up my alley.
You would love it.
I gotta check it out. But no, but yeah, so the monitor is just like, I mean, my phone just alerted that she just woke up.
Oh,
Ruben will get her.
Okay. Wait, and then can you also put the Dakota on the couch like during the day?
Yeah, that's what's great about it is you could put it. I mean, of course you have to be careful they don't roll off, but like, again, my eyes and like hand was pretty much on her at all times.
I know. Was it so hot? I feel like I'm not gonna be able to like sleep or do any like pee. Weren't you afraid to pee?
Yeah, like Ruben would take over, you know, the report, but like, yeah, it gets better. Like in the beginning, you're a new mom, you're paranoid about every single thing. Like, no, I didn't want to leave her side for 1 second. Mm-hmm. But you know, as they get a little bigger and you kind of get used to the whole motherhood thing and you just learn to be more comfortable with it. You know, even now, like I'm still super protective. Like I don't even like leaving her now. Mm-hmm. But you're not as worried. It's nice. It's a relief that as they do get bigger, you're not as worried about every single little thing. Like in the beginning, like I didn't want like the wind blowing on her. Now it's like, she'll be fine. You know,
yeah.
You kind of learn to relax.
Like what I still don't understand is like when you're at home, like the mm-hmm. pumping and breastfeeding, like, is it a combo or like,
yeah, I mean, it can be. So she would not take a bottle for the first 6 months. Six full months. She wanted nothing but my breast. Nothing.
So you can't leave.
I was tethered. And so it actually is hard. Like as much as I adore her and I did pretty much want to spend every waking moment, you know, there were times when like, I would want to just get out and like go for a drive or get fresh air. Like even going to the supermarket is like a vacation, you know, and you're like, and I couldn't leave. I would have to like run while she was napping to like run and do whatever errand or whatever I had to do. It was hard in the beginning.
Hour time limit.
Yeah. You're like in prison, like 10 minutes and you have to get out. No, but it kind of is prison in a way. I mean, in like the cutest, you know, most cuddly prison, but like I couldn't do anything. So yeah, ideally you can pump, and store the milk so that your partner can feed the baby and you can breastfeed. But Ruben, like he couldn't, I felt bad. Like he wanted to feed her. He wanted to have that shared experience and that bonding, but like, she would not. And let me tell you, I think I spent over $200 buying like 12 different
brands.
I tried every bottle, every nipple, every single thing on the market. Like I tried every trick, you name it, and nothing would work. She only wanted my breasts for the first 6 full months. So it was hard. So I was pumping, but after a while, it's like, for what? Like, what's the point? At that point, the only reason I even would pump is so that I could, I don't even know, like you're just leaking. So you just kind of have to just for like relief, but she wouldn't take it. And then after 6 months, thank God she started taking a bottle. And so then, yeah, I would pump regularly so that I could go back to work. But also Ruben could feed her also.
I bet that was an exciting day.
It was. I don't even remember. I think maybe I wasn't home. And I think the first time she ever took a bottle, Ruben called me and was like, she took the bottle. We were so excited. I was like, I missed it. That's another thing. The mom guilt. Holy shit. I was like, oh, I missed it. I feel so sad.
Oh, and yeah, what about like taking her on her first trip or going on your first trip without her? Like,
remember this was like COVID. So like for the first, I don't know, the first like year, we really didn't do anything. Like we did not leave the house. We did, like my parents would come and we went out to dinner just like down the street, like somewhere super local. I think we were gone for like an hour, like maybe an hour and a half. And that was a big deal. We never really traveled or did anything for the first, I don't even know how long, because of COVID. You know, and so it was never a situation where I felt comfortable, like nothing was worth like putting her on a plane. It's not like I had to fly somewhere. Nothing was important enough that we did anything like that. It wasn't until this past summer, she was over 1 year old at that point, like one and a half almost, that we even took her anywhere. And there was a car trip. Like we drove out to the Hamptons. And that was the first time she even slept anywhere that wasn't in her crib. We have yet to fly with her. My in-laws are all in Florida, so we're going to be going there eventually, but we haven't flown with her. We just took our first trip without her in August. So she was 14, 15 months. And we went to Mexico.
Was that so hard to leave her?
Yeah, it was really hard. I'm not going to lie. I mean, we, you know, we had fun, but we're like, this is pathetic because we're at this gorgeous like Mexican resort. We haven't taken a vacation in God knows how long. And all we did was sit there. Not all we did, but we like sat there like looking at pictures of her. Like, look at this one.
That's like when it's pathetic. Just came to New York, I was so sad to leave Jagger. And we that I was watching on the app.
I know, I remember.
And I was obsessively watching it. And Steven's like, what's wrong with you? Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to be so much worse when we have a kid.
Can you even imagine when it's your own child? I felt bad because at some point, like Ruben on the vacation was like, babe, like, okay, we have 3 days left here. Like, she's fine. Like, my parents stayed with her. She was in good hands. He's like, you know, I felt bad because like my mind, it just wasn't the same. Like before we had her, we'd go on vacation. Like, yeah, we're like, you know, living it up. This time I did feel sort of like being pulled, you know, towards home. Like, of course I enjoyed it. You know, we had a beautiful, it was a nice time, but in my mind, part of me wanted to just be back home with her. It's hard. And like, I don't know if that gets better. I have no idea. Maybe some people don't feel that way, but like, I definitely had a hard time leaving her. And so if you were like that with Jagger, just imagine when, is it Gia? When Gia comes? Yeah. For sure. That's the name.
Yeah.
Did I, am I, is it okay?
No, that I, said that? I already talked about it. It's okay. Funny. I remember you wouldn't tell me. And I was like, I know. Tell me. And you're like, we'll see. You're so funny like that. You were like that too with her Halloween costume.
Because I did what with her Halloween costume?
Yeah, but you love to like create like this level of secrecy.
I don't know why.
Yes, you do. And then I go, oh, you didn't deny it.
You said what?
You said, I don't know why I do. And I thought you were going to deny it, but you admitted it.
No, I admit it. But looking back, that's so fucking obnoxious. But that's so obnoxious. Like, who am, like, why wouldn't I share the name? I don't know. I think I had this fear that someone else was going to steal the name. I don't know. I have no idea why I wanted it to be a surprise. I do think part of me was like, I didn't want to jinx it. And I felt like once I said her name, now you're like, personalizing it and God forbid anything happened. I think it's just my own weird superstition, but like, well, yeah, I really,
I don't like is when you tell people the name, they're like, oh, and you're like,
well, that's another thing. I didn't want people's opinions. I didn't want to know, do you like the name or not? I don't give a shit if you like it. It's my kid. Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. I felt protective. It was stupid. I look back and I'm like, why wouldn't I?
No,
I
told, but like, when some people, tell me what she was going to be for Halloween. I said, what is she going to be for Halloween? And you go, you'll see. And I'm like, what?
Moana. Like, what's
that? To be honest, I still didn't know what she
really
was. And then when I saw the photo, I was like, who is that?
I don't know. I don't have an explanation for that.
You're like, that's Moana. I was like, that's a girl in a tank top with a long pink shirt.
And a flower. And a flower in her hair.
I was like, I couldn't tell you who it was.
Let me tell you, when you have that kid, you're gonna know who all the Disney characters are.
I know. So how fun is like,
it
when
is fun.
Little like a newborn, did you start watching stuff just like couldn't wait? That's gonna be so fun because I don't want to watch Disney movies now, but like when she's born, I'm like, bitch, we watching Lady and the Tramp tonight.
It was a lot of nostalgia. Like the first, I was like weird about like TV for the first, probably like the first year. Like I really didn't want her watching anything. I'm like, oh, I didn't want to like inhibit her growth, you know, whatever they say, screens. Honestly, that goes out the window. Now you're just like, screen time is my best fucking friend. Sometimes that's the only way you can get anything done. And anyone who says that's not true is full of shit or they're lying because that's just not. But yeah, it's like Disney. We got Disney Plus because of her. It was like total nostalgia. Like, we've watched all the Disney movies. She's obsessed with Frozen and Moana. But like, I showed her the classics. I'm like, okay, these are all like digitally, like way more advanced than anything we had growing up. But I still made her sit through like Lady and the Tramp and Cinderella and Sleeping Beauty. And it was so nostalgic. It's
so funny to rewatch all those too.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is that you were, I actually talked to Steven about this. So she loves Barney.
Obsessed with Barney.
And I love how excited she gets when she hears a song. But yeah. I go to Steven, Isla loves Barney. We love Isla. And then I go, I don't like Barney though. Barney scares me. He's like, Barney scares me too. I'm like, Gia's not watching Barney.
She will. He is creepy. He's a very large male purple dinosaur, and it is very creepy, but I promise you, you'll wind up watching that. She's obsessed now with Peppa Pig. Ruben,
I was going to say, I saw she has the Peppa Pig table, and I already knew.
Our nanny got her that for Christmas, which she is so excited about.
Peppa Pig, right?
Peppa Pig is the weirdest, like, British pig.
Oh, British?
They're British. It's a British cartoon. They're British. Ruben can't stand it. I think it's funny, but it's not even like, I don't know if it's supposed to be this way, but the artist, like, he wasn't even trying very hard. They're like stick figures. They're not even like, there's no...
Peppa was going to get famous.
He probably didn't. He like doodled it on like a piece of toilet paper and it took off. But she's obsessed with that. And all those annoying shows with the annoying theme songs like Barney, your daughter is going to wind up watching them all.
Like, is it hard to be driving in the car listening to like that soundtrack, those like soundtrack?
Yeah. I do put a lot of that on for her, but I actually very purposely and consciously put on like, as long as it's appropriate, I'll put on like, even like hip hop or like other music that like, I feel like culturally is like good for her. Like yeah. I'll put on the music that I listen to. I purposely don't only put on like kids music because for one thing, I'm just going to like drive my car off a cliff.
I know that music is going to drive me insane. Yeah. I walked by a kid's birthday party the other day. It was an outdoor party. And yeah. I heard like one of those really bad, like,
yeah.
songs playing. And I was like, ah!
Yeah, I can only take so much of that.
Swift is probably fun.
Or like I make something. A point. What?
Like Taylor Swift is works.
I mean, yeah, I don't really listen to that, but like, I'll put on like the Counting Crows. Like, I'll just like put on like music that I listen to for her, and I'm like, this is Bob Marley. You know, like I try to teach her.
Her name is Isla.
Yeah, Isla.
No, it's just like a little island baby.
Is Steven excited?
Yeah, he's so excited. We're both so excited. I mean, like, I can't wait.
Has it hit him yet? Like, or is he in denial? Are you in denial? I don't know that there's like a person that you're going to be responsible for.
No, I'm not at all. I already feel like instantly, like I'm a very maternal person. Like mm-hmm. I'm already nesting so hard.
Yeah.
Like, I'm doing all the, I already ordered the baby bottle soap.
The what?
I already ordered the baby bottle soap and the detergent, and I have it in a closet.
Which, like, detergent did you get? Dreft?
I was going to, but then I heard it smelled bad.
Yeah, I didn't get Dreft. I think I just did anything.
Free and clear.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. That's what we still use. Anything, as long as it doesn't have like dye and perfume, you're fine.
But it's like, I got like drawer dividers and I know I have to wash everything, but I already put it in the dividers just to see how it looks. Yeah. Cause I'm like so excited.
It's you so know, much like, fun. Like getting the, is the nursery ready? Like, do you still have,
No, there's like a ton of boxes in there and there's a bunch of shit in there, but like my crib doesn't come until January. Mm-hmm. Like, but we do have like the chair and ottoman.
Yeah.
Some shit. So we're like slowly doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you like your Artie Pop carrier? Art Pop? Artie Pop?
Artie Pop. I love it. And I also got a baby Bjorn one too.
It's so pretty. Oh, we have the baby Bjorn. That thing, let me tell you, that thing is a godsend because she, you know, before they can walk, like you can't put them down unless you have them like stationed somewhere. So I would strap her to my chest so you could be hands-free. I would cook with her. I would like clean, like do whatever I, you know, needed to do. I would even like blow dry my hair, do anything like with her strapped to you because you can't put her down.
Mm.
And then also the baby Bjorn bouncer chair. That thing is amazing.
I have that. And then what else just arrived right before we started with another bouncer that I got.
Yeah.
A brand called Charlie Crane Paris. Check them out. And it's like a very like elegant wood, it's a second bouncer that I'll just keep upstairs.
Yeah. Nice. Is the baby's room, I feel like, is it going to be kind of mid-century modern? Like I saw the crib and that's
like a vibe. Be like mid-century.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yay.
Anything else that you think we missed?
No, I feel like we covered a lot of
bases. I know, right?
Yay. But I'm so excited for you. You're going to be such a good mom. I can't wait to meet her. You're going to have the cutest. Good. You should.
I do. I know you I should. Am. Okay. So Steven right now,
yeah.
He potentially he was around someone who we just found out got COVID, who he was working with.
Oh shit.
And his brother has an apartment a block away from us. And I said, and when he found out, I said, you're not coming home. You're going to Scott's, because Scott is out of town.
Yeah.
And I said, and you're staying there all weekend until you get a PCR test on Monday.
Yeah.
And I genuinely, like, and this was on Friday, and like nothing in me felt guilty. I didn't care. I was like, bye.
No, you have to do what you have to do. Honestly, like, if ever there's a time to be safe, it's, there's no being too paranoid or overly cautious. So did he get tested?
I think he's going to today, but like, he said he feels fine, but I just was like, I don't want to take any chances.
Exactly.
And like, he was like, at first I was sad, but then my friend pointed out, good mom already. And I was like, yeah.
Just enjoy that time alone.
I know.
I'm enjoy every minute.
Me and Jagger.
Hi, Jagger.
He's sitting on his back. I love you so much. And something else I wanted to say that was so funny to me was whenever I talk to you, you have such a New York accent to me.
Ew, I do.
No, but not like a, kind of more like, like Westchester accent, maybe.
Ugh.
No, but I feel like I get one when I talk to you. Like,
that's not a compliment. That's an insult.
No, it is. Steven's like, you always change when you're around your friends from back home, like your voice.
Well,
let's
not forget where you're from.
I know. No, it comes out even more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Do you ever hear your own voice? I mean, you do this a lot. I've never done this, but anytime I hear my own voice, I cringe.
No one.
Like, I don't even want to listen back to this because I'm sure I do sound like that and it's embarrassing.
I never listen back. No one likes to hear their own voice. That's like a universe. Like, everyone cringes at the sound of their voice.
Oh my God. I can't believe you just said that. All right. Now I'm going to be super conscious of it.
Why? No,
I don't want to sound like that. I hear other girls talking like that and I'm like, ew.
I don't know how to describe it, but I love it. And I love you. And thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited for you. And I love everything that you're doing. Can I just say, I'm so proud of you. I really know everything that you're doing. We've been best friends since what, second grade?
Second grade.
I have always known you are hilarious. I've always known you're a really good writer and you're extremely talented and funny. But to see you, like, everything that you're doing now with the comedy and the writing and your pot, like, I'm just so proud of you. And I feel like, no, really. And I feel like everyone now is getting to see, like, the Chelsea that I've always known. And I just love it. Like, I'm just, this is so cool. I love you.
I love you.
Yeah.